Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7 and verse 31. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7 and verse 31. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7 and verse 31, when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. This is the wonderful response that was recorded by the Holy Spirit concerning Moses when he saw the burning bush and how it was burned and yet it was not destroyed. And Moses, we read, he wondered at the sight. We see here very wonderful things, really. What a wonderful thing it was for Moses to behold this. He was not only to see it with his natural eye, but I believe he saw it with the eye of faith, the wonders of his God. But two, this speaks too of how the Lord deals with his dear people. They are like this burning bush. I understand that it was a bush that was full of thorns and briars. And are there not in the hearts and experience and pathways of God's dear people many thorns and many briars? There are those thorns of affliction and trouble and temptation. And yet, for the grace of God, they're not destroyed by them. You see, what was so wonderful to Moses here was the Lord was in this bush, and yet it was not consumed. And is that not so? And may it be so in each of our hearts. You may have many fires to go through in your pathway here below, but may the Lord be in your poor heart and mine. And if that is so, these things you may have to go through will not destroy you, and will not destroy your little hope in his blessed name. Well, much and many sermons could be preached on each of these points, but I want to just name one further, and I speak this with profound reverence. This was exactly so concerning the dear Lord Jesus. Firstly, in his life, you think how many times the enemies of Christ tried to destroy him, take away his life. But God the Father was so with him. He was verily God and yet verily man. And look at the great thorns and onslaughts of Satan that he endured. He said, did he not, I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again. I've been thinking much upon, you know, what he endured at Calvary. And yet, they couldn't destroy him, could they? This fire did not destroy the bush. The fires that the dear Redeemer endured for his dear people. Remember, he was spotless. He was holy. He was pure. He knew no sin. But oh, look at the intense agonies that he endured. But no man could take away his life or destroy him. I have power to lay it down. And you know, when he laid it down at Calvary and uttered those beautiful words, "It is finished." Salvation's work was done. No man could destroy him. But I want to look at it in the case, as it's been with me, of what is before us. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. May the Lord favour us with that eye of faith to view the Lord working like he did here, like Moses was favoured to see. And if you look in the life of Moses, how many times through his life he saw some wonderful works of his God. The wonders God alone could do. Oh, you look through the life of Moses and how he led the children of Israel. Think of the deliverance at the Red Sea. Think of the waters of Marah being made sweet. Think of the smitten rock. And many things we could name. Moses, when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And may we in these dark and solemn days be favoured to see the Lord working like Moses experiencing. And the wonders, we sing it in the hymn, don't we? The wonders God alone can do. And may it please the Lord to pour out his Holy Spirit, that we might see more and more of those wonders. Some of us have been favoured with a few of them over the years, haven't we? If not awfully deceived. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him. And the voice of the Lord, you know, was to proclaim three vital things. And these are what I want to base our remarks on this morning. First of all, it was a word of heavenly assurance to Moses. Now let me bring it home to you and me. As we gather this morning, do we need a word of heavenly assurance that we are one of his children and that the Lord is our God? And then secondly, there was a clear command to Moses. And Moses had got to be humbled and brought right down into the dust. And then thirdly, there was that which God said he would do for his dear people. Now it is upon those three things I want us help to set before you this morning. The voice of the Lord came unto him. Now, as we begin, look in your heart. Do you know what it is for the voice of the Lord to come unto you? Like it did to Moses. Well, let me come low. Do we desire that we might hear the Lord's voice? Because he said, did he not, the dear Saviour, my sheep hear my voice. And it's an evidence, if we're among the sheep of Christ's fold, a wonderful evidence when we're favoured to hear his voice. So what was the first thing the Lord said to dear Moses? The voice of the Lord came unto him saying. You see, Moses was to hear the Lord's voice. And what did the Lord say to him? I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. This is what the Lord told him. Now look in your heart, do you desire the Lord would tell you this? You look through from Genesis to Revelations, how many of those precious souls named in God's word, the Lord confirmed them and spoke to them that he was their God. I am thy God. And do we not desire it today? How many have come this morning? Lord, do assure me that thou art our God and that we are thy children. Because if the Lord's your God, poor soul, then one of you're one of his children. And here he's confirming this to Moses. And do we not need the Lord to sweetly tell us that today? Because when he does speak such a word, you'll be so melted and humbled by it. Oh, you will. You'll say, Lord, why me? Why hast thou so favoured me to hear thy voice speaking to me like he did to Moses? I am the God of thy fathers. You know, when the Lord sent Ananias to Saul, he spoke this word to him. The Lord did, through Ananias, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. And who is this God of our fathers? He that rules the universe today. He that holds your breath and mine in his hand. He that hath the keys of death and of hell. But he that is mighty to save. He that controls all things for his dear people and is their God, their Saviour, their Redeemer. I am. Oh, may the Holy Spirit whisper this to some poor seeking soul this morning. I am the God of thy Father. Have you in your heart the desire for the Lord to say to you and to me, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, and I am thy God. Now this is what the Lord told Moses. And you see, Moses was a chosen vessel of mercy, and the Lord was to assure him of this. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Let's pause a moment here. Do you know what it is to tremble before the majesty of heaven? The publican did, you know. He trembled at the holiness of God. And the old minister said, in my early days, he said, Lord, may there be a congregation of trembling souls in thy house. Those that tremble at the word of God, tremble at the ark of God, tremble at his power. What do we read concerning Habakkuk? That dear man knew what it was when the Lord spoke for him to be afraid. We don't see many afraid before God today, do we? You think with all the grace given to Moses and all the wisdom and the wonderful confirmations and tokens given to Moses, and yet he knew what it was to tremble before his God. Oh, to be a real trembling sinner before the majesty of heaven. You know the Lord will bless these characters. Oh, he will. Of those that trembled at the ark of God. You think that through David's life, and not only through Moses, but through David's as well, he knew many places he came into where he trembled before the Lord. Trembled because of his sin, trembled because of the power of the Lord. Trembled because the Lord could cut off in a moment. But he never cut off his dear people. But he cuts off the wicked. So he says here, the Holy Spirit, then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Oh, the majesty of heaven here. He didn't want to presume, did he? What does the hymn writer say? I gladly receive him. But fear to presume. You see, such was the solemn awe that had come upon Moses at the presence of the Lord in this bush, and what the Lord was to speak to him, and durst not behold. Sometimes, you know, the trembling sinner, well, we cannot stand, can we, in the presence of the Lord? Our poor flesh cannot begin to, because we are creatures of the earth. And you know, when the Lord really blesses his dear people, the flesh is brought right down to be nothing. And some of us have known solemnly what it is for all our strength to be taken by the greatness and power and majesty of the Lord and the divine revelations. You know, if you were to be favoured with a glimpse by faith of the dear Lord Jesus on Calvary, suffering in your room, place and stead, the flesh cannot begin to stand in such a sacred place. But faith will behold the precious Lamb of God. He didn't want to behold this with his natural eye, because the natural eye couldn't begin to stand it. But he beheld it by faith. But then let's come to the second point here, which is a very sacred one. What was the result of all this in the heart of dear Moses? The voice of the Lord came unto him. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. You see, the ground naturally where Moses stood was the same as every other part of ground. But what made it so precious to Moses was this: the Lord was there. Oh, he was. He was there. And the Lord said to him, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. You know, there are some precious places that are holy ground to God's dear people. And I'll tell you something, child of God, you'll never forget those places. Moses was never to forget this burning bush and the place where he stood when he beheld it. We know when our memory gets bad, and especially as we get older, we tend to write things down perhaps more than we used to, so we remember them. But I hope there's a few places that we shall never forget, where we had to unloose the shoes from off our feet, for the ground whereon we stood was holy ground. You think of Jacob at Bethel, when the Lord spoke to him there. He said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. You see, in the case of dear Jacob and with Moses here at the burning bush, they were so melted and humbled by what they beheld. Oh, they were. And you'll feel like that to unloose your shoes from off your feet. Why? Because the place where thou standest is holy ground. You know, I'll be honest about this. I ever seek to be honest, but I'll be absolutely honest about this. Whenever I come into this pulpit, thinking of your late beloved pastor and those that have gone before, I feel just like Moses did here, to unloose the shoes from off my feet, for the ground whereon I stand is holy ground. It was holy ground to all those godly pastors that have gone before. Oh, it was. Because the Lord was there, you see. And wherever the Lord is, it's holy ground. Oh, it is. We think of some of the pulpits, not that one wants to speak of it personally, but, you know, there's a few pulpits in this land and abroad too, whereon I found that the place has been such holy ground, because the Lord is there. And you think of the pews. You know, if these pews could speak, there will be many precious souls that are now in heaven that could testify that seat where they sat was holy ground to them on more than one occasion. Because the Lord was there and he was speaking to their souls and favouring them with the blessings of heaven, it was holy ground. And there have been those that have gone through the pool here where it has been holy ground to them, because they felt the sacred presence of the Lord there in the water. And you don't forget it, you see. Oh, these visits, what does the hymn writer say? If such the sweetness of the streams, what must the fountain be? Where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately from thee. And then it may be you can go to your home or the previous home or the one before that. And those rooms, I go back to Hecton Farm and where the Lord delivered my soul in that bedroom. And you know, when he did it, I put my arms up from that bed and I said, Lord, take me home. Don't let me sin anymore. It was holy ground. In the porch in Pickhill Chapel, the following Sunday, where the Lord so blessed me following it, I couldn't get in the chapel but sat in the porch, and you know that porch was holy ground because the Lord was there. And some of the hearing times that you may have, you can look back on and they've been holy ground to you. It may be in some place in the earth, away from the house of God, and he made it the house of God to you and holy ground, where the Lord spake. You think of dear Mary Magdalene when the Lord Jesus revealed himself to her after the resurrection in the garden. You know, that garden was holy ground to her. Oh, it was. And the Lord had made it so because he was there, you see. Speaking to us all. And the place where the Lord forgave you of all your sin. Blotted out all your transgressions. Revealed himself to you. As your Saviour, your Redeemer. Was it not holy ground? And think of even the Damascus road to the Apostle Paul. The Lord made it holy ground to him. And yet he trembled. We read concerning Moses, don't we? Moses trembled. And the Apostle Paul saw as he was then, trembled before the majesty of heaven. But the Lord made it holy ground to him. He always went back there, you know. In his thoughts, in his hearts, in his desires, how the Lord made it holy ground. But I must hasten. May we a time in your soul today where you can look back and see these sacred spots. And it's humbling, you know, to do it. Oh, it is. Oh, we stand amazed, don't we, that the Lord should favour us with such places that he made holy ground to us. The hymn writer said, and I often quote it, what is the house to me unless the master there I see? And you know, if you have a glimpse by faith of Jesus only, it'll be holy ground. Oh, it will. And why did he have to unloose the shoes from off his feet? Because he was to be so humbled and melted before the majesty of heaven. Oh, he was. These shoes, you see, that were to be taken off his feet, nothing to creep in and mar the blessing, or to taint the ground with sin and filth of this earth, unloose his shoes. You know, if you get home and you've got dirty shoes, you immediately unloose them, don't you, rather than take it in on the carpet or whatever. But think about it spiritually. in our hearts. And you know, if the Lord blesses us in our never-dying souls, the ground within us, our souls, is holy ground because the Lord will be there. He makes his presence known, you see, and felt. But I must hasten to the third point. He further says this, the Lord does. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. You will notice it speaks this twice. The Lord does. I have seen the affliction of my people. And think of that today. The Lord says, I have seen. Now, some of you may be in circumstances or in providence or in your family or in your soul. You may feel, well, am I one of the Lord's children? Are these things that I'm walking in what the Lord's people have to walk in? But here the Lord is confirming it to Moses twice. I have seen. Make no doubt about it, poor soul, today, what you are in, whether it's in body, mind, soul, circumstance, whatever it's in, the Lord says, I have seen. He sees us when we see not him, the dear hymn writer said, and always hears our cry. And he sees everything that every one of his dear children are in. And here he's saying to Moses, I have seen the affliction of my people. He knows exactly, and he knew here as he speaks this to Moses, exactly what they were in. It was all seen by him. And oh, what a comfort that is to the Lord's dear children when they can feel the Lord is seeing and knowing everything that they need and all that they are walking in. And may the Lord whisper that to your poor heart this morning and mine. I have seen. Man may not see it. You feel you're alone in things, but the Lord sees. Oh, he does. The all-seeing of the eye of the Lord sees us exactly as we are. There's nothing escapes his sight. Whether it be in your thoughts, whether it be in your mind, whether it be in your heart or in your pathway, he sees. Nothing is hid from him. There's a lot of things people hide from ministers and others. They would think, well, we wouldn't want that minister to see us doing this or dressing like this or doing that. But the Lord sees you, and it's him we're answerable to. Oh, it is. Make no mistake of it this morning. He sees. And he sees us when we sit in the house of God or even stand in the house of God and we're planning all what we're going to do in the week while we sit there, and he sees it. That's very searching, you see. So the Lord speaks to Moses, I have seen. And it seems very wonderful that he says this twice. I have seen the affliction of my people. He confirms it to Moses and confirms it that he, the Lord, knows exactly what they're in. And they're back in Egypt, you see. He saw the things they were in every detail. That's a beautiful psalm, that 139th psalm, isn't it? And how the dear psalmist says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Oh, think of that wonderful word of the dear psalmist. Do you know something of the sweet experience of it? So he says, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. But then he goes further. I have heard their groaning. Is there a groaning soul here this morning? Groaning under sin, groaning under trouble, groaning under affliction, groaning for, longing for the blessing of the Lord to be poured out upon you. He hears the sighing of the needy and the groaning of the prisoners. And he knows your groans, poor soul, and he says here, and I've heard their groaning. You may feel the Lord is not hearing or answering your prayers. But here he's confirming to you this. I have heard their groanings. Not some of them, all their groanings. Whatever they be, those inmost groanings. He knows all your pain, all your suffering. All the time you are burdened by sin, those groanings that go forth, they're all known to him. You know, sometimes we can't utter a word in prayer, can we? But we can groan, and we can sigh before the God of heaven. And here he sweetly promised them, I have heard their groaning. And he knew all those groanings that were going on back in Egypt, where his dear people were, there in bondage, bound by Pharaoh and his house and the many things that of persecution and opposition. And you think of it in the bring it home in this solemn day in which we live, where there's so many persecuted and under the threat of death, and the oppression is great in so many lands. But the Lord knows the groanings of those dear souls. Oh, he does. And think of this word. He says, I have heard their groaning. And oh, may the Lord whisper that to your soul and to mine this morning. But then he says this. He didn't just hear their groaning. And I am come down to deliver them. Oh, this is what the Lord was telling dear Moses. I have come down to deliver them. and he comes right down to where his dear people are to deliver them. Oh, he does. You think of those that were delivered by the Saviour while he walked this earth, and he came down to deliver them. Those that were in deep afflictions, blindness, affliction of body, affliction of soul. And he came down to deliver them. And you know, when the Lord delivers you, he'll come right down to you and deliver you, whatever you may be in the depths, weighed down by sin, oppressed by Satan, oppressed by unbelief, and he comes down to deliver. Now this is what the Lord promised Moses he would do for his dear people. And then come down. And you think, as Moses beheld the Lord there in that burning bush, I have come down to deliver them. To come right where they are. Now the Lord knows what you are groaning under, what you are oppressed with, what afflictions upon you. I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their groaning. And I've come down to deliver them. Oh, you think of the wonders of this. It's very sweet to me when this word dropped in yesterday. Oh, that we might know, each of us in our souls and among us as a flock and throughout Zion. And the Lord alone can grant it. Oh, yes. You see, what he has said here, and let me ever remind you of this, will not return void. The Lord has sent me with this word this morning to your poor soul as the message from heaven. The Lord will fulfill it. It may not be how you will think it's going to be fulfilled. You think of Moses, how he thought that, as we read in the lesson, he would deliver the Lord's people but in out of Egypt. But you look at where the Lord had to bring him, to 80 years old before he was to do this. And it wasn't in a way that Moses thought. The Lord was to do it in his time, you see, and in his way. The ways of the Lord are past finding out. Oh, they are. Human reason can never fathom the wondrous works of God. We sing in the hymn, don't we? Bow down, sense and reason. Faith only reigns here. Well, I've scratched around the surface of this, but may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the realities of this threefold blessing in your soul and in mine, and may we know the realities of it. What Moses was favoured to know, and the Lord's dear people in his day. Amen.